excuse me for my voice, but I have never, never seen anything like it. On the road again.
If we wanted to hit mailboxes, we could let Ralph drive. We're the best of
friends. Moron, your bus is leaving. Keep turning our way, and our way
is on the road again. Welcome to this Arizona State edition of Excuse Me for My Voices on the Road Home podcast. This is Ken Crawford talking to you on the road home from the Arizona State game on October 4th. Anytime you beat a team in the Pac-10 who's considered to be one of the better teams, at least a contender to take the Pac-10 title, it should be considered a good thing. And there's a lot to be very optimistic about today after the Bears' performance on the field. The first and foremost thing to be excited about is this defense. This year's Bears defense is, in my opinion, the best defense since the 2004 Bears. Their ability to stop the run, their ability to get sideline to sideline, their ability to play the passing game well, all of these things are getting better each and every week. While the performance of the front seven today wasn't surprising to me, I've seen enough of them to know that they play very well. The unit that seems to have improved significantly since the last game and continues to be on a improvement track is the secondary. I've never seen them so well tuned in to looking back for the ball, batting it away, making a move on the ball, and the number of times where they weren't in a good position was few and far between. They were very active today, very dominant, and almost the entire game I was impressed with their play. This is really the unit that's come the farthest since the beginning of the year. Sid Quan Thompson, of course, is still the leader of the unit, but you know what? Darian Hagan made some great moves, so did Ezef. And Conti was out on the field a lot today. They were kind of in a triple corner set to combat Arizona State's three wide receiver set. And he held his own. He did a pretty good job. So I felt really good about the Bears secondary today. And if they can play at that level for the rest of the season, I believe that the Cal defense has what it takes to win a Pac-10 championship. Because if those four or five guys can really man the secondary as well as they did today, it really frees up that front 6-7 to go after the football, both on running plays and on passing plays. I was a little bit disappointed with the inability of the defensive line to finish plays off. They did a great job of getting pressure and getting to the ball. But there were a few too many times they let Carpenter escape. There were a few too many times where they didn't wrap up the running back and he got a second shot at it and got a few yards that he shouldn't have gotten. So while their performance was still strong, I think it was probably the weakest of the three units on defense. Zach Follett, of course, continues to be a monster linebacker, doing a great job of getting everywhere and causing trouble. That hit he laid on Carpenter that forced a fumble that flew about 40 yards, you know, both laterally and backwards, was one heck of a hit. And you have every reason to have a lot of confidence in him as a linebacker in just about any type of role. But also, Warwell Williams was playing great. They're doing a lot of the same stuff I talked about after the Maryland game with taking inside linebackers and pushing them back into coverage, but they're doing it in a little bit of a different way now where they're not having to get sideline to sideline doing that. The zone coverages are letting the corner take that route, and so the inside linebacker takes the slants and the in hooks, and that seems to be working a lot better. But they'll also drop the outside linebacker into coverage. And there was a number of times today where you could tell Carpenter was a little confused as to what coverage schemes to be expecting and held on to the ball just a little bit long. And these are all things that are examples of the Bears secondary doing a lot of good work to both confuse him and cover their men. I really think the defense did an excellent job today, only giving up 14 points to Arizona State. And I was impressed across the board. Offense is a little bit of a different story. I'll start with, of course, the topic that everyone will be talking about, which is Longshore playing the entire game. Riley never got a snap. I'm not a zealot for either of the two quarterbacks. I think they both have their ups and downs. Longshore is a quarterback who does well when things are going right. He's got a lot of precision when things are happening the way they're supposed to happen, and when he's healthy, and when the play develops the way it's supposed to develop. In those scenarios, I believe him to be a better quarterback than Kevin Riley, particularly since there are no plays in the Tedford offense where, or at least very few plays in the Tedford offense, where the quarterback running is part of the play. So in just about every play in the Tedford offense, if things go as designed and if everybody is executing as they're supposed to, I'd rather have Longshore than Riley. Now, Riley, on the other hand, brings a different aspect to the game. I believe him to have more grit, more determination. His escapability and running ability gives him an X factor when things break down. But his precision is not as high as Longshore when things are going as they're supposed to. And so that's why you see in a game like today the advantage of Longshore. How many poorly thrown balls were there today? Not many. The couple of balls that were not thrown well were thrown in a place where the receiver was the only one with a shot at the ball, and he was avoiding the coverage of the opponent. Yes, he had that one interception that was a dead giveaway. I mean, he was trying to throw a screen. The screen was so sniffed out, it was horrible, and he threw it right into the linebacker's hands. But give him some grit and determination points. He made the tackle. He kept that from turning into a huge play. And guess what? No points resulted from that turnover. And if he hadn't have made the tackle, that would have been an extra touchdown for Arizona State. So I liked that. That's the first time I've seen Longshore do something like that. Usually he kind of gives up on the play when he gets beat and he gets frustrated. So I think the humbling experience of being behind Riley has helped his game, and I really expect to see him as the starter for the indefinite future until he gets injured or does something that makes Tedford think that Riley's a better option. So, for all of you Longshore haters or Riley lovers, I know you'll be a bit frustrated. You think that perhaps there's something Riley could have brought to the game today that Longshore didn't have. You'll think that the fact that the offense sputtered for a good portion of the second half can be blamed on Longshore. But I just don't think it's that simple. I think he executed the offense that Tedford wanted him to execute very well. And he did everything he was asked to do, and he did it with precision, because things were going as they were supposed to. How would he do against an Oregon or a USC that's going to disrupt a lot more of these plays? He's going to be weaker than he was against a team like Arizona State, where you're able to execute to plan. But in all honesty, we haven't seen Riley against a team like USC or Oregon. He's played against two middle-of-the-pack type teams. So, I'm fully expecting Longshore to keep his job, and sorry to you Longshore haters, that's just the way it's going to be. But what I do think is, if he gets injured and it looks like he's not 100%, he's going to get pulled very quickly. And that really was the downfall of last season. Longshore played injured for many, many games, when he had no business playing. Riley should have come in last year's Arizona State game. Riley probably should have come in the UCLA game last year. He definitely should have come in the Washington game. And if he'd come in those times, Longshore would have been a lot more healthy by the end of the season. So it was a huge mistake, but not one that Tedford's going to make again. So hopefully that will give those who are disappointed by the decision some comfort in that you're not going to see the same scenario that we saw last year. Moving on to the rest of the offense, what I really liked about the offense in the first half was how creative it was, how many different types of plays were run. And in some sense, this might be a little unfair to Riley because Tedford and Cignetti, I think, are more comfortable with Longshore and are willing to open up the offense in ways they aren't willing to do with Riley. But you'll notice as the game continued and after Cal opened up a big lead, the play calling got a lot more conservative, a lot less original, and the offense sputtered, particularly late in the third quarter and in the fourth quarter. And yes, I know they're trying to run out the clock, but there are things you can do to keep the defense honest and spread the ball around while still doing it in ways that have high percentage plays that keep the ball in bounds. So my hope is that when they're looking at film this week, they look at how well the offense functioned when there was a lot of variety in the play calling, and the play calling in subsequent weeks reflects that. Offensive line, I felt, did really well today. The one hit against them is when the Bears were trying to run the ball towards the end of the game. The Bears weren't able to. And what that's a sign of is the fact that Arizona State knew what to expect. They knew what was coming at them. And so I don't really hold that against the offensive line. For the most part, they were opening up really nice holes for Vereen, and he was running through them. In fact, going on to that, I would be so bold as to say that between the tackles, Vereen is a better running back than Best. His ability to cut and find the little seam and juke back and forth and make something happen was really impressive to me today, particularly in the first and second quarter. Things that I don't think I've seen Best do. He really was excellent between the tackles. Now, of course, everyone knows about Best speed, and Vereen doesn't have Best speed. Even though he's really fast, no one's going to argue that he has Best speed. And you didn't see Vereen running around the corner like they send Best to do, and I think that's because of Best speed. But between the tackles, man oh man, is Vereen very good, very nimble, very slippery. You know, he'd get tackled, but he'd still figure out how to drag him or dive forward or do something to get those couple extra yards. So I was really impressed with that, and I'd love to see more formations where we've got a two running back set, Vereen and Best back there, that allows the flexibility to really force the defense to defend both the inside run and the run around the edges. And then you can send them out into running patterns as well, which we know how well both of those guys do. Mora also played a really excellent game. He was very physical at blocking out the secondary for ASU. That touchdown was a thing of beauty. He had a safety on him, but he managed to block him out, let Longshore throw the ball in there, and it was very effective play for a touchdown. And I saw a lot of that out of him all day. The wide receivers did a pretty good job as well. Not a lot of dropped balls, generally in the right places as far as I could tell. Boateng is coming into his own, is really kind of starting to earn that second starting spot, or at least sharing time in it. So really, overall, in player by player, position by position, I really felt that the offense did a good job as long as the play calling was creative. When it got very predictable and very run-centered, the Arizona State defense was able to stop it up. But the good news is, this is a team that has a defense that can respond to that situation. With the Bears trying to run out the clock for over a quarter, giving Arizona State possession after possession after possession, the defense stepped up time and time again. And even that one possession where they got that second touchdown to bring the score to 14-24, they had to get so many breaks go against them for that to be a touchdown. I mean, on that drive, they had the bogus pass interference call. They had the interception that should have been pulled down if Williams and Follett weren't fighting over the interception. They had the ridiculous, at least as far as I could see, leaping penalty. And I think there were one or two other things all on that one drive that kept that drive alive after the defense had stopped them and stopped them and stopped them again. And how frustrating must it have been for them that they eventually scored. So when you have a defense that's capable of stopping their opponent on just about every possession, you can be more conservative and it'll work out more times than not. I'm not suggesting that the offense play that conservatively, but it works out a lot more often. And with Tedford's tendencies, things that is just not going to change overnight. The key to success is having a defense that's going to live up to his expectations to slow the opponent while he's trying to run out the clock on offense. Special teams were also excellent today. Brian Anger's knee is clearly getting better. He's booming the ball more like he did against Michigan State, not having some of the issues he had in the last few games that I always pinned on the fact that his knee isn't 100%. And sure enough, he's finally getting healthy and he's booming that ball again. Of course, the blocked field goal was awesome. Sidquan's punt returns were pretty good. I mean, he didn't take one to the house, but you don't expect that every game. And he had a number of solid 12 to 15 yard returns. The one thing that I see both Sid and the kickoff return people doing, particularly Darian Hagan, is they're not getting behind the ball and running up to catch it. They're catching it almost on their back feet. And that there's a huge difference in your explosion when you're catching the ball kind of stepping backwards as opposed to when you were behind the ball to start with and you started running into catching the ball. And that's the kind of thing that DeSean Jackson had, that Tim Mixon had. They had that instinctual ability to get behind the ball, to get to the side of the ball if they were planning to go sideways, and then start running just before the ball got there. So they got that little bit of acceleration they didn't get if they had to wait for the ball to be soundly in their hands. And I really think they would do a little bit better if they had that benefit of that momentum already working for them as opposed to going backwards and having to change their momentum after they've caught the ball. It's a difficult skill to perfect, particularly because it's the type of thing that lends itself to not catching the ball at all, which is a huge mistake and not worth it. But hopefully over time, they'll kind of get those instincts to learn how to do that. And I think it'll make a big difference. The other unit that, of course, stepped up and is getting better is the kickoff team. Of course, we went back to the Italian Stallion after both Kay and Seawright couldn't seem to keep the ball in bounds. He's not kicking the ball any deeper than Kay and Seawright did, but at least he's not kicking it out of bounds, and he's kicking it deep enough that the coverage team is able to get down there and keep them around the 20, and that's what we need. We need the ball between, you know, inside the 25 and on a good kick inside the 20. And that's what happened today. Even though the ball was only making down to the 7 and to the 5 on the best kicks, it had enough hang time and the coverage team was getting down there that there was only one possession that I can remember that the receiver got on the wrong side of the 30. But all in all, this is a team that both has a lot of potential and executed pretty well today. There's this little feeling in the back of my head like the performance was flat, kind of like last week with Colorado State. But you just can't feel bad about a 24-14 performance over a team like Arizona State. They are no slouch. And if you're feeling that way, I think it's an indication of just how much potential your team has. And if the team can execute well, both Arizona in 2 weeks, the next opponent, and UCLA home in at home in 3 weeks following that should be no trouble at all. That leads into the two biggest games of the season with Oregon and USC. If by some miracle they can win both those games as things stand, they would pretty much be a lock for the Rose Bowl. Of course, depending on how those games play out, things could play out quite differently. But we're looking at a team that's going to finish probably in the top three of the conference, perhaps higher. And I'd be very surprised to see them in fourth place with the way they're performing, with the teams that they've already beat and looking at who's left on the schedule and the likelihood that Cal's going to beat those teams. So I feel very optimistic, even though I've got that little feeling in the back of my head that says it was a little flat today. I think that the defense's performance against a pretty good team and the offense's potential, even with Longshore back there, in fact, especially with Longshore back there, looks really good as long as they keep the creative play calling rolling, which my gut says, until they pull out a 2-3 score lead, is going to continue moving forward. So, that wraps up this edition of the On the Road Home podcast. My next podcast will be on Tuesday with BearTerritory.net, player interviews and going to the practice. No podcast at the end of this week on the bye week. So I'll have two BearTerritory.net podcasts between now and my next On the Road Home podcast. And of course, Jason and Phil and I do try to get together on occasion and have a group podcast, and we'll see if we can't do one, if not two of those, between now and the next game. So with that, thank you all for listening, and look for my podcast over at BearTerritory.net. On the road again.